Woman, I want to speak on the home tonight. I hope it'll be a blessing and help to you and a curse, encouragement to you. There's a lot of things in life that we just kind of expect people to know, and there's some things that we just figure people aren't going to know. People don't want to know. But the Scripture teaches us that it's very important that we know what's going on in our lives. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another. Very important that we understand that. It's a life thing that when we get married, we have promised that one. I was telling somebody, I was in California, I was telling one of my cousins, I said, you know, they said something about my wife, and I said, well, I said, you know, I said, first of all, I said, when I promised to, I asked her mom and dad if I could marry her. I'm from the old school. I think a man has a responsibility to go up to that dad and mom and say, I'd like to have your daughter's hand in marriage. That was scary. Amen. And, big old football player, 210 pounds, 6 foot, you could grab a football and run pretty fast going down the other end. Big guy pound on me and pounds on me, but I'll tell you what, I was scared. I'll be honest with you. I was a mealy mouth sissy coming in before. And I was sitting there in the chair. We just finished dinner, and she's sitting on the edge of the chair. And all of a sudden, I said, I want to ask you. And all of a sudden, she got up and went to the kitchen. I said, you get back. I said, what are you going? And she laughed. And I said to my father-in-law, I said, Pastor Fry, I said, I'd like to ask your daughters. I'd like to ask you if I could have your daughters hand in marriage. He said, well, I was wondering when you're going to get around to it, amen. They're all ready. And my mother-in-law is after like, and oh boy. And they said, well, we're wondering. I says, of course. Of course. Boy, I'll tell you what. But then the fight was on. I'll tell you what, I couldn't even be around her alone anymore. And that's good. That's good. Amen. The Bible says better to marry than to burn. And I was burning, and I wanted her hand very bad. And stupid me, I waited another year. I should have married her right then, amen. And it was all good. I mean, we were ready to get married, but Mom and Dad weren't ready for us to get married. We set the date June the 14th, 1969. And it happened. I thought I'd never get there, but it happened, amen. So when I stood before my father-in-law and my brother-in-law, they're both pastors, and my father-in-law said, dear little beloved, and he said, we're gathered here in the sight of God and these witnesses to marry this man and this wife. And then he asked me a bunch of questions, and I said, I do. And she said, you better. But anyway, a bunch of questions, and I answered him, affirmative. And he said, what sign do you give to show that you want to be married? And I said, a ring. And then I promised to do all these things, forsaking all others, in sickness and in health. And for rich or for poor, I knew that I had no problem with that one. It'd be the poorer, amen. And until death do us part. And I cried when he said that.
I cried. I lost it. Because that's not what I was thinking about. I was thinking about life and enjoyment together and to be full of life. You know, and I never had an idea about dying. I don't want to talk about dying. And I will tell you right now, I've kept myself faithful for 47 years to that little girl out there, going on 48. I have never wanted anybody else but her. I promised her dad that I would keep myself from everybody else except her. I promised her mama that. I promised her two sisters. I promised her big brother that. And I have kept my promise. But I also promised the covenant. I made a covenant in front of everybody, a God and a man, that I would keep myself and love her until death do us part. 6.5 and a half years ago, I thought that was going to happen. And we've had some difficulties.
because of her health. And the doctor said that she's gone. She was, the EEG said that there's no brain waves at all. Doctor pulled me in after, in the intensive care and says that your wife is not really living. Her heart's just beating. She's not breathing on herself and on and on. And I said, well, what's wrong with heaven, doc? And he kind of stood back and said, well, nothing. I said, no. I said, we've talked about this. And when she was a young girl in Vacation Bible School, she asked Jesus Christ to be her Savior. I got to tell that to the doctor. And I said, we have always said that something happens, you pull the plug, you get along. And I said, we're fine. And all of a sudden she started breathing on her own. Thank God I didn't have to make that decision. Amen. That's a big decision for some of you folks who've been around that kind of stuff. So the Bible says that wives, it says here, submit yourself unto your own husband. I see a lot of ladies that submitting themselves to other people. But to their own husband, it just got a gripe. My aunt, bless her heart, she's in heaven, and she's probably listening to me now. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, talks about there's so great a crowd of witnesses, you know, watches us. We redid their vows, 50-year vows, at the Yosemite National Park in the chapel there. She would not say obey him in the, you know, and she laughed. And I said, what do you mean you won't obey him? She said, I'm not going to obey him. She's a preacher's wife. I said, boy, you got a problem, lady. No wonder, Uncle Johnny, you got problems. And everybody laughed, you know. But there, in a family, the family affair, there has to be one that leads. That's the one. I think there ought to be great discussion. I think that all the man ought to back up once in a while and say, you know what, honey, you are right. Once in a while, your wife will say that to you. Have her sign it, amen. And but I think that the Bible says that he made a wife to be a completer. A completer has the idea of one who finishes, one who completes a man. We aren't complete without a woman. That's just the way it is. We're not. She's the one that knocks off the edges. She's the one that helps us in our life. If your wife is smarter than you in finances, let her take care of the finances, and you go out and go hunting and fishing. Amen. If she's, well, we really ruined it to the Native Americans. Us guys, we all used to just hunt and fish and bring in the food, and she stayed home, did all the work. Amen. What's wrong with us? But anyway, I talked to you last week about a man is a logical thinker. 2 and 2 is 4, 4 and 4 is 8, 8 and 8 is 16. But with a woman, she is emotional feeler. There's a lot of times when my wife used to say, I don't know about that. It's a good idea for a preacher to say, what'd you say? I don't know about that. And then you just figure that she knows something that, I said, well, how do you know that? She said, I don't know, I just know that. The ladies have a sixth sense. They're trying to help you. You fall, listen to them, amen. But anyway, a man has a cabinet mind. He filed cabinet mind. He just, okay. Yesterday when light didn't work on our bus, all of a sudden I opened up the cabinet and says, now listen, why doesn't that light work? When you start bus number one up and the lights are not working, there's got a problem because there's no light switch. The switch goes on when you turn the key and start to fire it up. So we got a problem here. And then I thought, oh, yeah, I remember back when we had a problem with the dimmer switch. I pounded that dimmer switch. The light came on. One light came in. I got underneath it. I shook the dimmer switch and made sure it was all the way plugged in. Guess what? I got two lights. What happened? My wife say, honey, did you check the antifreeze? They're a feeler. They don't understand some of that stuff. Now, I know there's probably some girls in here are pretty good mechanics, but I know that some girls don't get it. They have a mind like a computer. It's always running. Man has two sides of his brain. One's on, one's off, okay? He can't do the same thing at all time. A girl, she can have a baby. She's got a baby in the cooker. She's going to have a baby. She's got one on her hip. She's got another couple of them running around. She's got, she's talking on the phone, she's chewing gum, and she's cooking you the most magnificent meal you're about to eat. They are multitaskers. Guys, don't do that. We can't chew gum and walk at the same time going to trip. Amen. That's just the way we're made up. That's the way you got it. I was at a psychiatrist meeting of, they were talking about the human brain. It says, this is a man's brain. There are two compartments. And then it says, this is a woman's brain, and there's all kinds of things going in and out, in and out. And she can get away with it. I don't know how. Thank God for her. She's our completer. Remember that? But, girls, remember this. There's one head in the family. That's your daddy. He makes a responsibility. Now, I love what Brother Smith's wife said. She told my wife, she said, I believe in duck submission. And I said, what? She said, I believe in duck submission. We were talking. She says, when Larry thinks that this way we ought to go, and I don't, I tell the Lord, Lord, you know he's wrong. But he is the head of the home, and I'm going to be biblical about that, but when you whack him, I'm going to duck. Amen. And so there are some things in our lives that these girls really know. Guys, come on now, don't be stupid. There are some people that really know what they're doing, but girls, don't be stupid and say, well, I'm going to do it no matter what. You take what he said. You marry the idiot. Now live with him. Amen. All right. Number three, man wants the bottom line. How much does it cost? What is it going to cost? And the girl said, well, honey, you just can't imagine. I've been wanting one of these for a long time, and it's red, and it's about this big. And he says, hey, how much it costs? He has this mind that says, what's the bottom line? I know what I can afford. I know what I can't afford. And you're going by what? You're going by, you want the details. The guy comes home and said, honey, I need this. And you say, why? Because I need it. Men are not shoppers. We're buyers. We go downtown. We got a list. This is what I'm going to get. Go in and get it. And go. Girl comes in. Well, I don't know. My wife would come and see these beautiful dresses. I said, get it. She said, no, it'll go on sale in a couple weeks. Honey, it looks nice on you. It's beautiful. My wife used to put on maybe 10, 15 outfits. I'd come down. The most wonderful thing they have in a place of business like that is a chair for the guys. Right outside the dressing room, my wife would come in. She'd put on this and put on that. She said, isn't this nice? And I said, yeah, that's right. So do you like? And we had this thing. Honey, don't get mad if I just say, I really don't like that on you. I'm looking at you. You're not looking at you. I'm the one that's going to enjoy it. If I like it, that's what you ought to buy. Can I have a witness? Amen. And she'd come out, and I said, she said, why not? I said, okay. She'd come out with it. Oh, it's beautiful, you know. Oh, honey, I said, wow. I know, you know, I'm winter. I know the certain colors of winter and the summer and all that kind of stuff. And she's not winter, and she's got another kind of what she is. And I said, wow. That's a knockout, baby. She said, well, I really don't know if I like it. I said, I like it. I love it. Let's buy it. She said, no, it'll be on sale in a couple of weeks. Guess what, brother? Somebody bought that out from her, and she never did get it, and that's what I want. So we kind of have this thing about if I like it, we're buying it right now. She said, no, honey, we ain't going to. Oh, my goodness, have mercy on me. Men are orientated on competition and winning. We got to win. If we don't knock win, we're going to knock them down, pour gas out of them, and light them. Amen. I mean, that's mankind. Some of you guys are, oh, that's so silly. You lying? It's not silly. That's the way guys are. That's why guys get in trouble in these road rages and things like that. Back off. Don't look at them. You know, all of us want to be the policeman. You know, we're going to give them tickets. We ought to have a ticket. All of you are like that. You don't look at me like that. You are too. He has violated law. That's it. And we're going to win. But anyway. But women are oriented to building relationship. Honey, don't say that. We're good friends with them. What is wrong? Don't make a difference. We're having a relationship here. You know, so on. So I talked about that last week, a couple weeks ago. Man has an ego. He needs somebody to boost him up and encourage him. That's man's security. That's why we have cheerleaders. You gotta be a football hero to get along with the beautiful girls, yeah, huh? You gotta make touchdowns, hey, everybody, whoa, hey, huh? Yeah, hit the home run, oh yeah, girl says, why are you keeping score? We want relationship. If we're not going to keep score, why do we want to, we don't want to win? I mean, you know. You poor people, amen. You know it, and down in your heart, you know that's the truth, but you're sitting there, she'll punch me if I say something. But anyway, man has an appetite. That's him. His appetite is for food and the love of his wife. That's the only thing that makes that guy tick, whether you like it or not. That's just the way it is. Girls, listen to me. I'm trying to help you. Women, her security is she needs to feel appreciated and accepted. I know a girl right now is trying to get a divorce, and I know why. You wouldn't know her. All he can think about is going hunting and being with his buddies. He's a stupid, stupid, stupid man. She needs to know. Listen, if you're around me very much, you'll hear me talking to my wife. You say, but Pastor, listen, let me tell you something. 5.5 years ago, I went to bed with my lover, and I woke up with a 2-year-old granddaughter. A man could not have a woman that loved him so much as I did. Well, let me tell you something. Tonight, I was getting her ready. She came combing her hair. I'm combing her hair. I got this bottle of spray. It said Big Sexy. Big red bottle of hairspray. My kids teased me about it. I said, what's the deal? That's your mama. Dad! So I combed her hair just right, and you put your hand over it. Hey, you come to Sheldon Salon. That's what we used to tease about this years ago when she needed something. I used to do her hair. I used to color her hair. Now, thank God Julie comes over. I cannot. She's too, I have to hold her while she's doing it, you know. But I told her tonight, I said, baby, you're not going to, I mean, you're so stinking cute. I'm telling her, she's just blessing. I don't care if she is 2 years old, I tell you, she still likes that. She still likes me to hold her hand. She still likes me to be around her. And I'm always pumping her up. I'm always saying, man, you'll hear me say this all the time. I said, how in the world, little farm boy from Michigan, come out to Minnesota to play football and find such a beautiful preacher's daughter? How in the world? She said, I don't know, but down deep she knows. She told her sister the first time I met her, she was 17 years old. She was a senior in high school. She said, I'm going to marry that guy. First time she met me. She was out to get me. Guys, there's no mercy. They're going to get you. They put it in their mind. They're going to get you. Okay, so guys, remember the thing. One of the tools or one of the things you'll keep her wife is you make sure she knows that she's appreciated and she's accepted, appreciated and accepted. I appreciate my wife. I don't know what I'd do without her. Even now, I don't know. I lay in bed with that crazy thought out of mind. What if she goes again? She's appreciated. Even when she puts my keys in the refrigerator, can't find them. I seen her one day throw something in the garbage. It was I'm a diabetic and I have a blood tester, and it's constantly six times a day I'm testing my sugar. And I seen her throwing it away. I looked at her and I just walked by and grabbed it and put it out there. You can't explain it. You can't do that. You can't say no, 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 no. You just say, thank God I saw it, or I would have thrown it out, amen. There are some days I go for days looking for things and then find out that I put it there instead of her, but I accused her of doing it, amen. This marriage thing, the Bible says when a man and wife come together, they become one. She is my right hand, she's my left hand, she is me. I can't live without her. My cousin Dennis Streeter, Doc Streeter for some of you know, Cal was dating Marilyn and they were going to get married. And somebody says, hey, your brother get married? Yeah, they have to get married. Well, everybody, you know, got this idea that, uh-oh, you know, baby's coming, you know. And they said, do they really? I said, yeah, man, he loves her. Can't live without her. Oh, so sometimes it's best not to say things. But anyway, man has the appetite, as I told you before, two things. Food, the love of his wife. That's all. And by the way, if you go to Ecclesiastes, you find out Solomon, the smartest man, the wisest man in the world, said, there's only two things you men are going to get out of this life. The food you eat and the love of your wife. So, bless God, I made a decision a long time ago. I'm going to eat all I can and love my wife all I can. Hallelujah. Because that's all I'm going to get. When you leave this whole world, there's only two things you ever got out. I don't care how rich you are. I don't care if you got a Beamer out in your driveway. I don't care if you got a Harley in the garage or a couple of them. Or you got a Yamaha or whatever. Or an Arctic Cat. Or every kind of gun that's made. I saw a gun today. 960. It has a bullet that's 2,200 grams and I forget how many. That guy shot that thing, but knocked him down. Why would you want to do something like that? I looked down and said, "You dumb man, you dumb." But everybody wants one, you know. Amen. But anyway, you ain't gonna take that with you. The things that you think are gonna get to be enjoyment to you are not the enjoyment that God said. Listen, you get two things. So I would suggest if you only get two things in life, you enjoy it while you're here, because it won't be long. And you're going to be gone. I said something really crazy to my uncle. My uncle had his 100th birthday. Man, we were talking, laughing, and he is as sharp as a tack. He's sharp as a tack. And I said to Uncle Johnny, I said, you coming to my birthday in 30 years? I'm going to have my 100th birthday. When I said that, I went, oh, that's all I got left if I live 100 years, 30 years. So I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to eat everything I can get, as you can tell. And I'm going to love my wife all I can. Now, there's different situations now in my life. But it never changes that she's my wife and I'm to take care of her and love her with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. That's my job. I heard a guy say to me the other day, he said, boy, I really feel sorry for Brother Shearer. I said, for what? Well, the way things are going. I says, what do you mean the way things are going? I said, don't you think God knows what's going on? Don't you think God knows exactly what happens in our lives? He gave me this to make me stronger, not make me bitter. And I refuse to be bitter. God gave me this to have a tool so that when I come up to a guy that I saw the other day and he's having a tough time, I put my arm around and say, you know what? It's okay. It's okay to cry. It's okay to mourn. It's okay to be tired. It's okay to put your feet up once in a while. It's okay to say, I don't know what I'm doing. It's okay to say, I've never been down this trail before. I've never seen it this way before. Hey, I remember when we first had our baby. I didn't understand any of that kind of stuff. I look at Brother Rick. He got three boys. Man, screaming, yelling, crazy boys. Now he's got a little girl that we don't yell around. Now he's got a little girl that we don't speak harshly because the guy just goes, that is dead. Huh? These girls are, they're different, man. Oh, my son had some boys, and then he had that first girl, Julia. He said, Dad, I got something I don't know what to do with. He said, they just don't even look like boys. I said, yeah, that's right, man. You'll be happy about that. And I'm jealous because he had a girl and I didn't have one. Amen. I just had those stinking boys. Amen. They'd come by and I'm going to tell you about the difference between a boy and a girl. My mama beat me so many times and I deserved it and even got out of some. She spanked me. I mean, she spanked me. She had the wickedest little hand you ever did. I mean, she'd look at me and said, you're not my little Sheldon.
I'm going to tune you up, boy. You're going to be my Sheldon, amen. One day she got so fed up with it. I was probably about maybe 8 or 9. And she looked at me and she says, "Son, I can't do it anymore." She says, "I'm going to be like Jesus. And I'm going to take your spanking for it. Now, here's a stick." She used to pull out sticks out of the blinds. We have gone plastic, so they're no good anymore. But the sticks would break if you hit them too hard. But boy, they'd sting, amen. But they wouldn't do any, they wouldn't do any body damage. They ain't going to break it. It's already cracked there. Leave it alone. That's what God made it for, amen. Boy, she said, "Here." And she handed me that switch. And I looked at her, "My little mama." And I said, "Mom, I'm so sorry. I still remember. I still remember." And I said, "I need it. You give it to me." She says, "No, but I want you to know it breaks my heart when you don't live like that and you talk like that," or whatever. What I do, I'm probably fighting my stinking sisters. But anyway, I had 3 of them. So one day, I have one of my boys, and I thought, I'm going to use that on him. Because, boy, that broke my heart, right? And I said, "Son, I don't know what I'm going to do with it anymore." I said, I just can't do it anymore. I says, and I gave him the stick. That little sucker, he commenced to beat me. And I'm thinking, hey, this ain't the way it happened with my mama. And I talked to a very wise preacher, and I said, he said, "You ain't a mama. You a daddy. They pound the fire out of you, boy. You're stupid." I said, "Yes, and it hurt." After the second time he whooped me, I said, "That's enough of that, boy." And I turned him around. I tuned him up. Good! Amen. Girls are different. Boys are different. You got to learn that stuff. Amen. There's 4 A's for a man. He provides authority. He provides affection. He provides approval. Praise and thankful. By the way, dads, every time you push up from that table, you better be saying something to that wonderful cook that just cooked your wonderful meal. You be appreciative. You're the guy that does it. And then 4th, you provide advancement. Not a wife needs to know she feels she can go someplace. You don't want a wife to think she has to be handcuffed to the sink all the time. Barefoot. You should provide her way. Listen, guys, if you want to get real smart, read Proverbs 31 and see what that little lady did. The queen, the wife of the queen. See what she did. Man, she was buying property. She was an entrepreneur. She was working hard. By the way, that's where we get man's work is from sun to sun. The woman's work is never done. Her candle never goes out by night. That's what the Bible says. Hey, thank God for these gals that are hustlers and work hard and do those things. Thank God. Your house would be a mess. Your house would be a shambles. So anyway. All right, wife, her 4 A's is 1, you accept him, you admire him, this is going to kill you. You adapt to him. Yes, even when he wants you to go hunting with him. Adapt. Have mercy. But the last day is appreciate him. Appreciate him. I heard a lady say this. One time in my life, I was sick and tired of picking up my husband's dirty underwear and socks until I realized somebody else would like to do that. So the lady told me. Then I realized somebody else would like to do that. And every time I picked it up, I appreciated him that he went to work and worked hard. There's a story told about a woman that was married to a man, and he was a tough rascal. He would put a sign on the refrigerator saying, "These things have to be done before I get home." And she said, being a good woman, and a good wife, I did it, but it really ticked me off. He'd come home, he'd inspect me like a white glove sergeant would. And she said it was really tough. But she said, I knew that I had told him
that I would marry him, and so because of that, I'm going to do what I had to do. He'd come home meaner than a junkyard dog. And he'd come and inspect. She said, I was 30 years old, had four of his children, and he came treated me like a little girl. He said that, she said, that was the toughest thing in my life. But she says, by God's help, I did it. And she said, thank God he died. Thank God he died. And she said, I will never marry again. But this sweet-talking Texas boy married me. I didn't want to be married. I didn't want to be have somebody tell me what to do. I didn't want to live like that. But that sweet-talking Texan, he married me. And after a while I married, I was cleaning this. I was making sure everything is just exactly. And she said, I pulled the cupboard. I pulled the dresser doors away, and I found a note from that husband that I had married that was so mean and unkind to me. And there was a list of things. And I look over there, and he says, I did that all this morning. And then she said, I realized I did it because I loved him, not because I was forced to do it. And she said, I've never so happy in my whole life. You know, there are some things in life, girls, that you need to do, whether you like it or not, because it's Bible. But I will promise you that God does not forget what you do. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, again, reminds us that God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. He will not forget that. You do right. You do what the Bible says. And you trust God. You do the duck submission. And God's going to whack it. Same thing with you guys. You say, man, I don't know what I'm going to do with this woman of mine. I don't know what I'm going to do with her. She's crazy. I mean, she's flat out crazy. Hey, God don't need to be married to more than one woman. She's married to one woman. And she's different 30 days. Every day she's different. She can be a screamer, she can be a whiner, she can be quiet, she can be loud, she can be, and she's the same woman, coming the same package. Enjoy variety, amen. But you keep doing what the Bible says. The Bible says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself, literally died for the church. We're about to have the Lord's Supper. And what he did, and what we are going to celebrate, the breaking of the bread illustrates how his body was broken, beaten, because he loved us. I don't know a man that has ever been beaten and broken like Jesus was. Oh, yeah, it can be easy. You think it can be easier. You just go get a divorce. Oh, it's going to be easy. I'll get rid of that one. I'll get... Oh, no, it's not. No, it's not. You do what God tells you to do. You love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul, all your might, and you just submit to God, and he'll take care of you. He promises you. Oh, you said, but preacher, you don't... the Bible says this world is full of troubles and sorrows. Hey, go with me down to the bar tonight. No, maybe that's not a good idea. Go to McDonald's or something. Sit down and listen to people complain of the troubles that they've got in their life. By the way, the difference between you and them, you got to promise God. Said, I'm not unrighteous to forget your labor love. They don't have that promise. They don't have a promise that God loves them and takes care of them and answers their prayer. Who do they go to? They have nobody to go to. We can go and say, dear God, you know what's going on in my life. You never tell your problems of your family to other people. You keep that at home. It's like going to hunter's camp. Everything at hunter's camp stays at hunter's camp. Hey, man. Huh? Keep it there. It happens at home. You don't have to go around to that. deadbeat a husband of mine. He can't even get a job. He's just, that guy of mine, he doesn't take care of the family. All he wants to do is buy another gun. All he wants to do is buy another weapon. All he wants to do is trade that truck in for another truck. He wants to get another motorcycle, another snowmobile. I'm telling you, I can't live with a guy. Give me a break. Maybe that's the way he can get out of life and blow some stink off him, and you've made it so tough on him, he don't be around you. I don't hear no amens to that one. Maybe he's just looking for something. Well, why don't you love him up so much he cannot love anything else? Wear the old boy out. Fix. Why don't you give him what he wants? Instead of making that, remember that insurance company deals with that guy that's a fishing pole and says, "What is it? It's farmers." Farmers, how much money do I have? Oh, you got to. Oh, I'm going to buy this purse. And then the other girl's over there. She's trying to. He said, "I got a dollar." That's what some of you girls are. I got a dollar. You know what you are? A number 23. Years ago, I had a book of all the numbers. I think number 23 is idiot. But I don't want to call people idiot. I'll just say 23. What? Mrs. Evans told me the smartest thing I ever heard. She says, why don't you give people the thing they want? Why do you keep make them to beg? Good night. I told my wife one time, I said, honey, I am 60 years old, and I'm not in for games. I'm not into games. I'm 60 years old. I've been around the park a lot of times. I've been over the mountain many times. I said, I don't need that coming from somebody. Why don't you say amen or oh me? It's getting real quiet in there, so I'm like, you know, one man says, you shoot in a hole and it gets quiet in there. You know you got him pinned down in there, amen? Yeah. Why don't you just, even the fact that the Bible says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that you love one another. I wonder in churches. I pastored a church in South Dakota. I don't mind saying this, airing it on air. I pastored a church for 5 years. I preached on love. I've never seen such mean-hearted, what a beggarly element of people. They're just fighting all the time. One family sit up here, they get up, family back there. They look. If that family left, then they get up and leave. If that family, they stay there until they left. They didn't want to talk to them. They're in the same church! Are you kidding me? Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Good night. Get up here. Get right with God and get on with life.
That's right.
This life is too short. I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad that I had the relationship I had with my wife when that June 6, 2011 hit and that doctor said, she'd never make it. I'm glad I had a good relationship with my wife. I know some people, they just eat alive with that. Well, why don't you just ask God to forgive you and get on with life? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all righteousness. The problem with married people is this. You're so stinking prideful that you're unwilling to say, I was wrong. Or, you know, baby, you were right. Why don't you say that? Some of you be saying it all the time. Well, then, okay. Say it all the time, you have to. Ah, honey, I blew it. Girls, don't say, I know it. You're pushing his button. Remember, he's got to be the winner. He's got to be the one that carries the ball across and to make a touchdown. He's got to win. Or if he don't win, he won miserable hound dog. I'll tell you that much. They got to win. And you're a cheerleader. Hey, how's your team doing, girl? How's your team doing? How's he doing? He said, he's so cantankerous. Wonder why he's cantankerous. We're at a basketball game. And I close with this. We're at a basketball game. And this kid, he is the most uncoordinated goofball you ever meet in your life. They got a few seconds to go, and he gets the ball. And all of us, everybody is going 1 point and they could win this thing. I mean, it is for the win. He gets the ball somehow, stumbles into the ball, and he throws it up, a granny style. You granny style it's this.
And that ball went in.
Never even touched the rim. I'm just all net. The place goes crazy, except
a few of the guys. And they say, lucky shot. I want to go over and just cold cock them. You know, everybody needs to win sometimes. Those guys all year have been shooting them balls up at one end, and people are, yeah, man, you're a jock, man. You're the coolest thing, you know, since ice cream and peanut butter was made. This kid, one time in his life, I mean, he's a stumbling, bumbling idiot. I mean, there's no other way to explain it what the kid was. He shot that ball granny style, and that baby went in almost from half court. Second retirement, I mean, they all missed the ball. He happened to be there in the right place at the right time, and God says, and blew it over, and it went right in. And the guys and the big dudes were saying, lucky shot. Now, if they would have done it, everybody would be pounding, high-fiving, going crazy, right? But they're over there saying, anybody can do it. No, not everybody can do it. God had him at the right time, right place, and it was his time to win. It was his time to be crowned your great player. He traveled those idiots all away, all around state. He'd gone here. He was always the guy that had to get the water. He was always got. But he won that night. They won the game because of that guy. Because they missed the ball, and he got it, just happened to throw it up, and it went in. Let me tell you something. Some of you gals are married to a guy like that. And you're still 23 that you won't give him a moment of glory. You won't give him satisfaction and say, attaboy. Kudos. Wow. You are my hero. Something happens at home and he fixes it. And you say, you don't say, well, thanks, honey. You go, hey, there's some other things that need to be done around here. You know what you are? I said it, 23. He said, he hadn't done anything for years. Maybe you've never given an incentive to do something for years. Maybe you expect him to be perfect. By the way, none of us are perfect. We all have to put our pant leg on one at a time. We don't just Superman jump into the thing. If we don't brush our teeth, they turn green. Guys are crude. And guys think guys that are crude are cool. Because we're guys. There's a femininity part in my body. I could be put a dress on, I still look like a guy. I stomp around, look like a guy. When nobody's around, I stick one thumb over this and blow my nose and blow the other. And to guys, that's the way you do it. You guys got heavy little hankies. We're different. Accept it. Oh, Brother Rick, Pastor Commodore. That little thing is going to change your voice. They're going to say, ew, you girls do that? And the girl's going to say, you guys, you stink. That's what she's going to say. You ought to clean up. Guys don't clean up unless they have to. And mama drags them in and throws them in the shower and scrubs them down and gets them out. And 5 minutes later, they need to do it again. Because that's guys. I hope tonight that you go home with a new vigor of saying, you know what? I'm going to try to do better. I'm going to let my husband be the husband. And sometimes I'm going to just have to duck. And guys, sometime wifey drive you crazy. Two things you go to bed for. Love and sleep. She thinks she goes to bed
to download her computer. And she's going to talk to you for 2 hours, telling about the silliest things you think are silly, but are so important to her. That's big. So adjust, guys. She's not a guy. She's a girl. They really got some weird things going in their life. And we can't figure it out. I saw the first edition of How to Know Your Wife. It's this big. It's only the first edition. I thought, man, I need one of those. Edition number one, what you should know about a woman. You say, but preacher, I know. I grew up with three of them, three sisters. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. And I was talking to my sister the other day, and she was laughing about some things. And I have scars on my face from my sister. I mean, she's like a cat, man. She beat me up, man. She's 3 years older than I was, and I was the dumbest thing that ever come up from under a pumpkin. Until she went to college, and I became having pictures in the paper about being a football player. Then she thought I was okay. But not until. She told my mom, she says, why does he have to go to youth group? He's so stupid. He's always making funny noises. And a whole bunch of other stuff. Oh, my goodness. Father, help us to be more like you. Help us understand that you made us different. But help us to understand we're not complete without each other. And Lord, when we get married, we become one and we become so intertwined with different things, but so spectacular. Thank you, Lord God, for our wives. Thank you for our husbands. Thank you for those that are so different that make life so an adventure. Help us, Lord God, to not despise it, but to love it. Lord, may we make a choice in our life that we are going to serve together and love together. And when the things come, Lord, help us to be kind enough to realize that we are different. Realize that our lives are different in our life and change and things are going on. Help us to realize that as we grow older, things change and things are different and things have to be very careful with, and some things are not as important as they used to be. Help us to understand those things. And Lord, may we glorify you, Heavenly Father, for you're the one that made us. And may we go to our scriptures and find the things that would teach us to be better at the business of being a husband or wife, that we won't want to make a mistake. We want it to be better and greater, because the Bible says that if a man loves himself, he'll love his wife. The Bible says that that the older women are to teach younger women to love their husband, to be keepers of home, to love their children. God, help us to be more like you. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this time we've been together. In Jesus' name, amen.